a warm welcome to everyone who is here to honor the memory of Mendy and to pray for her eternal glory. Every funeral mass is something like a family gathering, a family reunion of sorts. And Mendy had many, many connections to many families. So it's beautiful we can gather here like this. And it's very beautiful that the Muslims are having a holiday today, because it makes a holiday for us as well, a national holiday. You know the traditional way of paying respect to the dead. First, after someone dies, there's the wake, or the time of the viewing that took place for several days there in Cavite. Then the funeral, what you're doing now, and the blessing of the body, the final commendation, and then usually in the old days, a procession from the church to the place of burial. Of course, the process is different now because of, well, for many factors, but this is the funeral mass for our sister Mendy. Our formal final send-off shall be cremated this afternoon. I understand that it's not yet, the arrangements for her interment are not yet final, so her urn will probably be brought back here, which is very good too. Anyway, this mass, like every funeral mass, is a mass for the eternal rest of the dead person, in this case for our sister. And at the center of every mass, we should always remember, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mendy knew this very well. She knew her faith very well. She knew that it's because Jesus died and rose from the dead that we have hope that when we die, we will rise with him. So this mass applies the victory of Jesus Christ to our sister Mendy, and to all of us, in fact, and to all the living and all the dead. Jesus died for us all and rose for us all. We've been celebrating this throughout the Easter season. Well, this is a chance for us then to give thanks to God for the gift of life, the gift that God has given to Mendy and is giving to Mendy, even as we speak. This is also an opportunity for us to offer real consolation to the family members and loved ones and everybody who is in grief or in sorrow at her death, because even though we believe she went to heaven and we believe in eternal life, it's still a moment of deep sadness when someone whom we love goes home to God. In Mendy's case, I have no doubt that she's enjoying eternal life, because I was present at her very beautiful and very peaceful and very holy death. I happen to have the privilege of being there. I recounted that story at the wake last night, so I'm not going to go into the details here, but that's what our faith tells us. So if we believe and we receive the sacraments, Jesus does the rest. Well, this morning I would like to recall something of Mendy's Anuim journey. Since her funeral is taking place here in this chapel, in this Anuim shrine, which is a very fitting thing. I mean, this was Mendy's spiritual home for many years, and she was here every day for Mass for many years. That's why I think it's beautiful that she's here for her funeral Mass. In fact, Mendy is the one who found this property. Remember that? She was in real estate, and that was in 2001. I'm a little bit foggy about the details myself, but she's the one who found this property for sale and said this would be a good deal and a good place. So we bought it. And then when Anuim bought the property, there was a little building there. This chapel building wasn't here yet. There's a little building there, and her sister Cora stayed there in her last days, and she died here. Her sister Cora died right there. So it's another beautiful connection, Mendy's sister and now Mendy here in this sacred place. Mendy found Anuim in 1999. She was already a very dedicated Catholic servant and a dedicated member of the parish, and she was even president of the parish council, and she was a lector, very knowledgeable in the faith, very prayerful. But when she found Anuim, she found a way of life, which is what our spirituality provides for those who want it, a way of life. Something to draw us into communion with the hearts of Jesus and Mary, through the liturgy. And once she found it, she really dedicated herself to it. I remember early on, she told me, I am on a whim forever. Like with real conviction, I'm on a whim forever. So you couldn't shake her from that. And she would, and she came here very, very often until she was no longer able to. As you know, in her last years, she got weaker and had dementia. But she spent many hours here. She, in fact, she identified herself, you know, the other one at the foot of the cross, the stoop of statues. She always pointed to this one. And the reason why, and if you remember, before the days of smartphones, I don't know why, but she always held her phone about this close to her eyes. That was her, and she was known for that, so she said, there's this honorable person's looking at his phone, so that's how she said that one is her, even though in Father Francis's depiction, that one's a man, but she's identifying with him. Okay, well, she was a very grateful disciple of our founder, Father Francis, because Father Francis was very active when she first joined Anuin. And I remember Father Francis commenting about her or remarking about her one time, because he noticed how seriously she took the spiritual practices. He noticed she would take notes when he was preaching. And then when she would come in and make a holy hour, she would come in with books and pens and really study the Word of God. She had a great love for the Word of God. And I remember Father Francis remarking that about her. This woman is really serious about pondering the Word. And she was very active in establishing and leading pondering groups in the community. And she's also one of the pioneers to make this publication available. Before her active promotion, we always had short meditations that we gave to our own members. She said, no, this gift has to be made available. Let's print this and distribute it. And because she was a marketer and a saleswoman and an energetic, enthusiastic person, she was, you say, one of the pioneers for making the publication available, printing more of them and then distributing them. She had techniques for distribution. I think she's the one who set up the whole idea of distributors. I'm losing some of the details, but I know that we have a great debt of gratitude to her. She would have said, no, she's grateful to Anuin, but that community is very grateful to her as well. Well, and over the years, I mean, the Anuin family and Mendy's family became a kind of intertwined, interconnected. Her daughter Lady works for us, you know, she works here or works remotely. And the other members, where's Chloe? She works for us. Gentleman works for us. Josie, her cousin, where's Josie? She works like Josie, of course, a member of Anuin. So, am I forgetting anybody? I officiated at the wedding of Lady Andino. And as I said, I was privileged to be present at the death of Mandy last Saturday. Now, Mandy, aside from all those little details, she was born on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16, and she died on the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she's Marian from beginning to end. That day, the visitation, May 31st, is also the anniversary of the ordination of Father Francis. So there's a connection to Father Francis again. And the very next day after she died, that Sunday, was the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord. So that's what I'm reflecting on in light of Mendy's journey and her connection to Anuin and her dedication to the liturgical life. Today's the first Friday also. We honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Her wake and her funeral have all been in the period of time between Ascension and Pentecost, the Novena to the Holy Spirit, prayer to the Holy Spirit. And when I noticed today's Gospel, the Gospel that I read is not usually read at funerals. It just happens to be Friday of the seventh week of Easter. But it seemed perfect for Mendy because it was Jesus inviting Peter to express, to renew his love for him. Do you love me? And Peter said, you know that I love you. This is exactly what Mendy would say. I love you. you know that I love you. She loved Jesus from her childhood and always wanted to see him. The end of the reading, the gospel I just read, also speaks about Peter at the end of his life and how it will be difficult. He'll pass through a period of trials where he will be taken where he doesn't want to go, and others will be putting clothes on him. And that's exactly what happened to Mendy. After her very energetic, bubbly life, she declined to the point where she was bedridden and had to be cared for by others, beautifully cared for by her loved ones. And so I just thought this gospel just fits Mendy's funeral mass. But let me make a final reflection on this connection of the visitation, the day of her death, and the ascension the next day after her death, or just a few hours after her death, because the visitation is at the very beginning of Jesus' life, right? He's still in the womb, still hidden. And the ascension is the very end of his earthly life. So the whole span of Jesus' life is somehow captured by the moment when the Lord decided to take Mendy home from visitation to ascension. Visitation is an event of Mary carrying the presence of Jesus into the world, a hidden presence, but still a presence that gave Mary this missionary zeal. Because of what she received, she went forth to give life in Christ, to give life in the Spirit. And that's what Mendy did. She knew she had received the gift of faith, and she wanted to make it known. She could say she rushed into the hill country or wherever she could go. Visitation. Then ascension, what appears to be a departure, a loss, an absence, we know from what really happened at the ascension, it's actually a celebration of the presence of the Lord in a new way. Invisible, but powerful, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus is with us. He didn't leave us behind when he ascended to the Father. And this relates to our understanding of death, our Christian understanding of death, not exactly like Jesus, because Jesus bodily is glorified in his body, and Mendy is not yet glorified in her body. So it's not exactly the same, but we believe that our dead loved ones have not left us. They are with God, they are in God, they are alive in God. They are more alive than they were when we saw them walking around. And this is what we celebrate in the case of Mendy. She's with God. She's in God. She's alive in God. She's more alive now, not her body, but her soul, more alive now than she was last week or at any time. The body is dead, yes. That's important. The body and the soul are separated. We treat the body with the dignity of a sacred temple. So we keep it here, we sprinkle the holy water. The human body is a very sacred temple, dwelling place of God. But now Mendy has gone to be with God. So when we are with God, we are with Mendy, our sister. When we are with God, she's with us here in this chapel, not only because her body is here, but because we are with the Lord, because we're here in the liturgy, because we're here with the Word of God, because we're here in the presence of the Eucharist. Of course, Mendy's here. This chapel, of course. So we're sorrowful as we say our goodbye to our sister. But we are also joyful to continue our journey with her. We're grateful to her and grateful to God for her. We gratefully and confidently entrust her to the mercy of God, knowing that she's with us still and that we will see her again when we ourselves pass over into eternal life.